Welcome to God Mode Unlocked, episode 5. I'm Ryan Reynolds.
I'm Matt Bronson.
And we are finally live. We've got 4 episodes out there, and like we said, this is number 5. We're finally rolling, and if you're hearing this, you already know that. So we're really happy to hear that, to be here with you, and we want you to give us some feedback. So follow us on all the platforms that we have out there. Go to godmodeunlocked.net. And help us spread the word. And in addition, we have a giveaway going to celebrate our launch. We're giving away a Sloth Esports game mat, and we're also going to include copies of The Last Remnant, Front Mission Evolved, Just Cause Collection, and Murder Sold Suspect, all of them from Square Enix. So you'll get Steam keys for those. So go to our website, it's on our blog page, and use the gleam.io little thing and get some entries. In addition to that, this is the last podcast update for the day. If you like our theme song, support the artist. It's made by Chris Lantry of BBFB. His link is on our website. And if you want to hear more music like that, he has a whole album like that that he hasn't released in that 80s synth style. So if you like that, let us know. Maybe we can talk him into releasing it. And with that said, we'll move right on to the news. You ready, Matt?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. So probably the biggest news of the week. We finally got to see Red Dead Redemption 2 gameplay, and Rockstar has this habit of not showing gameplay until right before the game comes out. Did you look at it?
Yes,
chance?
Oh, I sure did.
What'd you think?
I thought it was great. What about you?
Okay, it looks great, first.
Yeah, oh yeah, it looks incredible.
It's probably one of the best-looking games we've seen this generation, graphically.
Yeah.
Gameplay, my biggest thing with Rockstar games has always been the controls. They never really nailed the controls. Yeah. They're always pretty clunky. And I did see some signs in there. And I felt like they knew that, and without saying it, they put stuff to show that they improved the controls. Like, they kept showing the horse driving in a really tight circle.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like that's to show, hey, look, where controls are better.
That's a dead-eye catch.
For me, that was really big. I'm still at a place right now in my life where I'm not sure I want a 100-hour open world game. And I hope when it comes out that I can be convinced to not avoid it, because it looks incredible. I just hope that there's I hope there's co-op. I know the first game had co-op and some level of multiplayer. So I hope that's what draws me in these days. So I hope that they're, including those aspects again. Yeah. But
yeah, I thought I was really impressed with it. Before that trailer, I just wasn't that interested in this game. I don't know why, because I really liked the first one, but the second one, I just figured, what else could they do? Could they do that they didn't do in the first game? And the stuff we saw, made me a little bit interested before this, and then this, seeing the wide open areas, seeing, just how realistic, even the dead deer are when you sling it over your shoulder, or how detailed the general stores are. All that stuff was great. It got me really excited, because it's the little details of these worlds. I know you don't watch Westworld anymore, but I am a huge
season 2.
I'm a huge Westworld fan, and in it, Anthony Hopkins' character says, what brings these people to this world? And he said it's the fact that it's the little things that people think no one else has seen before. Yeah. And that's really, that's all I could think of when I was watching this trailer. It's all the little things that, really make me excited for this game, because it just has so much attention to detail.
I got thinking about it, and it's not really recognized by a lot of people, I feel like, but GTA Online has been one of the most successful modes of any game this generation.
Yeah.
And I feel like, even though they haven't announced it yet, Red Dead Redemption 2 is going to have something akin to that. And they've made so much money off GTA Online that they're going to implement something similar in Red Dead Redemption 2, with heists some multiplayer thing. So what do you think about the new protagonist? Do you think that's a good choice or a bad choice? John Marston is in it. He's been seen in the trailers, but he's obviously not playable. Well, I shouldn't say obviously.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I wonder if this could be like a Metal Gear Solid 2 situation, where you start off as one character and then...
Part of me think I think they did it because John Marston's character arc in the first game was perfect. It really was. Yeah. Like, they, so to go back, I don't know if they wanted to toy with that. You know, he'll be there and he'll be present, but he's not going to be the focus because it is kind of like, remember in Metal Gear Solid 2, Snake almost became cooler because when you saw him, it was like, there's the hero, there's the bad.
Yeah, there's the guy I wish I was playing.
Right. So I kind of wonder if it's kind of that type of thing. I mean, what do you think of the new protagonist?
Did you finish the first one?
Oh, yeah. I played on Dead Nightmare, too.
Spoilers, maybe. One of them, was it the original Red Dead or was it Redemption? One of them, you do end up playing as another character in the end, don't you?
In Red Dead, so spoiler alert. In Red Dead Redemption, John Marston, you die. Yeah. And then there's a short, well, I should say short, there's a time skip where you play as his son who witnessed him die.
Yeah.
And
so it's really not out of the realm of possibility that we see something similar.
No, it's totally possible.
In the sequel where you start off as this one guy and you finish as John Marston.
It's totally possible. I think one way or another, I think John will be
a big part
of it. They're not showing him a lot. They're just kind of showing slides of him here and there. But yeah, I think he'll be a big, I'd be surprised if he was really just a background character.
Yeah.
We'll see.
What
do you think? Will Red Dead 2 win Game of the Year? Call it. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it will.
I think it's 50-50. I'm going. Right now, I feel like it's God of War.
Yeah,
I haven't played God of War, but that's what's in the lead.
I didn't really think about God of War, and then I thought about it. So maybe
Red Dead 2 could very well.
It could. It really could. I mean, the scope of the game
is
unmatched. Yeah, I'm going to stick with Red Dead.
You say yes. Okay. Moving on. Some Nintendo news. It got a lot of attention. And you're the Nintendo guy here now, so
yes.
I gotta hear your take
on the end thing.
A bunch of new Smash characters got announced. We have Simon and Richter Belmont from Castlevania, King K. Rool from Donkey Kong, Dark Samus, and Krom, who I don't even know who Krom is.
I don't really know.
No idea.
Is he from Castlevania?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Well, everybody was hyped. Everybody's super hyped for the new Smash, it seems. Are you?
You know, I am. I really am. You know, they've seen these new characters. It's just the size of the overall game got me excited. You know, I got the last one on Wii U.
Yeah.
The last Smash Brothers. I played it for about 10 minutes, and I was like, you know, why did I like this game?
See, that's,
like, I had fallen completely out of love.
You played them all.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it's still, I got to tell this story. You know what story I'm going to tell. My basically only Super Smash Brothers experience was Super Smash Brothers Melee for the GameCube. You and I were playing it. It was that mode. I think you had to kill
the
99 guys in a row or 100 guys in a row or whatever. Anyway, I think we were like trading the controller back and forth or something.
Yeah, I can't remember.
And
but I know exactly.
We get down to the very last guy.
Very last guy.
And it's Link. Of course, it's Link. So we beat 99 characters. And we're at the point where our character can only take one hit, really. He's going to go flying off the screen.
Yep.
And you get some type
of leg
cramp. I got
the absolute worst foot cramp I've ever experienced in my life.
And you drop the controller, and our character, Link, just one-shots him, and we lose. That was a classic gaming memory for me.
Yep.
That was, I will forever remember that.
Never forget that one.
I'm a little confused with where they're going with Super Smash Brothers, to be honest. I mean, there's so many characters now. It's like,
well, I feel like this has to be the end. In a way, like, the next Smash Brothers game can't be from the same perspective, the same, because this is it. I mean, this is truly the ultimate version of what Super Smash Brothers is right now. Like, they can't top this. There's nowhere else to go.
We're on Mario Party 55, so I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, if you looked at the new Mario Party even on Switch, it's very different from any of the others, you know. So it did get reinvented. And I feel like the same thing must be about to happen to Super Smash Brothers. Where this
it's
still
probably 5 years off.
This is the swan song for the way we know Smash Brothers, because there's nowhere else to go. Anywhere else is down. So
I saw a lot of people speculating. I think this is hilarious. That Simon and Richter Belmont appearing in the game from Castlevania, you know, it's a Konami property.
Yeah.
it's a hint that there's a new Castlevania on the way. I put the chances of that at like 3%.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
even lower. And this is Konami, yep. who's basically got out of gaming yep. altogether. They had to do nothing to put these characters in Nintendo's game. I'm still kind of shocked they even did.
Yeah. Well, did you see the rumor that Goku is going to be in the game?
Oh, jeez. He's in enough games.
That just brought me back to the Capcom versus Dragon Ball Z rumors of yesteryear.
Anything else on Smash?
No, that's it. Let's move off it.
All right. So one of the big industry-wide moves this week, Discord, who has become an absolute monster in the gaming community, is actually released a game store now, and it's a direct competitor to Steam. So
didn't somebody just buy them? Was it Microsoft?
Discord?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
I thought somebody bought them.
But anyway, they just released a competitor. It can't be Microsoft because they would not be releasing a competitor to the Windows Store.
Yeah, sure.
But that was the first thing that I saw everybody say was RIP Windows Store, because now everybody goes to Steam already, but Discord is absolutely ginormous. Everybody has a Discord community, us included, by the way. Come join our Discord and talk with us throughout the week. Discord's got a game store now. What do you make of that? Do you think it's going to be a threat to Steam?
Well,
it's a huge community. At Hellgate London. You remember that game? How hyped up Hellgate London
yes.
was?
Yeah, that was a shooter, right?
Yes. Way ahead of its time. And then they went on to close that studio and create Runic, it was called. They made Torchlight and Torchlight 2. Both were very popular. So that studio closed, and now they've got a new studio. So the Torchlight team is there, but they've also hired a ton of other Diablo developers. And now this week they announced Torchlight Frontiers for PC, Xbox One, PS4, and it's shared world multiplayer. So the MMO light style, you know, The Division, Destiny, that kind of thing.
Nice.
And it's coming out next year. It's going to be shown at Gamescom, I believe, for the first time. They released a CG trailer. But you haven't played Torchlight, obviously.
Nope.
You thought it was Dead by Daylight.
Deadlight.
I never played it either, actually, but I heard a lot of really good things about it. So there's quite it has its own following for sure, and I'm going to be keeping an eye on it, especially because I'm a Diablo fan, and there's so many Diablo veterans on that game. So here's another big controversy for the week, and I don't even know if you heard this one yet. It just broke last night or today. So Bethesda made a move that is apparently threatening the sale of used games, and people are wondering how far this is going to play out. So Bethesda sent a guy who has his own Amazon marketplace, you know, sells used games on Amazon, basically a cease and desist letter, threatening him, telling him to take his used games down, and claiming that it was a violation of false advertising and so on and so forth for him to sell the game, and he had to either pull his games down or get sued. So the guy pulled his games down, the used games, and he fired shots back at Bethesda for stopping him from selling his used games, saying it was a violation of his rights. Bethesda says that it's actually because when you resell a game, your warranty is voided. So that's the false advertising component. Is there, you know, you're selling a game as new, quote unquote, but it's actually the warranty is voided. So it no longer, you can't say that it's a new game. Even if it's wrapped in the plastic, doesn't matter.
That's very interesting because, you know, that's been going on for a long time on eBay and Amazon and everywhere else. And, you know, I've sold games as new. That's an interesting argument. You know?
So Polygon was the one who broke this story. And they're asking, because the way the letters were worded, people think that multiple of these letters came out. So lots of different sellers may have received them.
Yeah.
And people are wondering, you know, is this, are other publishers going to step up to the plate and do this same thing? Because obviously it hurts them. Or does it? What do you think? Do you think that, you know, the developers and publishers gain more? It's like in music, you know, some musicians have just embraced illegal downloading because it builds their ticket sales and stuff. So, you know, they just assume that their product's going to get stolen, but they're going to gain it back in merchandise and ticket sales. Or do you think it, you know, used game sales really are hurting the developers.
Well, you can look at it either way. I think this won't be the end of used games either way, no matter what, because this is obviously going to go to court. And it's,
you think?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they pulled it down. He pulled the games down.
This is going to go to court.
So he gave in.
Well, somebody's going to take this to court. And now Bethesda might win. Bethesda might win, and this could be the end of listing your...
Maybe it'll be the next Supreme Court case.
Yeah, this could be the end of listing your game, getting to list your game on eBay is new.
Trump's new nominee is going to be the one that determines the future of
YouTube. But even if that's the case, you just won't be able to list your game as new, even if it's in the wrapper. You would have to list it as used. There's no way this can be the end of used games, because you're always going to be able to sell your used game, I believe, unless there's a major shakeup in the...
I mean, the all-digital future kind of seemed... If it ever goes
I think that'll happen first. I think we'll hit the all-digital future, and this will become a moot point.
I think there'll always be some market, even if it's a niche market for, you know, collector's edition.
Oh,
collector's edition
is more
popular
than ever. Yeah, it might become a high-end niche market, but...
Resident Evil 2 has, like, a $900-something collector's edition.
Yeah.
I think there's always going to be some type of market for
it. Well, there's that... what's it called? There's like a publisher who publishes digital games into hard copies. Like a very... Is it Limited Run Games?
I don't know. It sounds...
I think it's called Limited Run Games. And they take, you know, digital games from like the Steam store and they make physical copies because some people
really... I didn't know that.
Some people really like having just a physical copy.
Yeah, I mean, vinyl is like... It's the same thing. Like vinyl's experiencing a rebirth right now. There's a lot of people who are... You know, dead set that the physical media sounds better. It's not as good as digital. There's always going to be somebody out there who wants it.
Yeah.
I am curious to see where this goes, though. If other publishers are going to start doing the same thing, you know, Amazon, the others could just head it off by not allowing people to sell their games as new.
Yeah.
They could just solve the whole problem.
I got a feeling that's probably where this is going to end.
Could
be. Is where you won't be able to list as new.
Yeah.
And I got a feeling Bethesda's doing it to try and protect the price of a new game.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're really trying to end used games altogether. It's just trying to protect the price of a new game because... Yeah, let's face it. We've been actually pretty lucky at that. The prices of a new game, you know, it stayed at 60.
Arguably, I mean, you've got the base prices stayed the same, but now you've got season passes. You've got every type of
microtransaction. But they leave it up to you.
I don't mind that. Yeah. But that's what, you know, a lot of people complain about is that, well, I bought the game, but then I still had to buy this, and that, and you know, I was walled off from this mode if I didn't pay $15 extra or whatever. Anyway, there's a lot of news out of QuakeCon this week, speaking of Bethesda, which all of Bethesda's franchises are at QuakeCon. It's not just a Quake thing. So first up, the biggest story by far of QuakeCon was the Doom Eternal. I got the name wrong last week. I called it Doom Infinite.
So
Infinite,
correction.
Eternal.
Corrections corner.
Whatever. So Doom Eternal was revealed, and I saw the gameplay footage. Did you watch it?
Yes, I did.
What was your take?
I thought it was brilliant. You know, I really like that they've recaptured that classic Doom feel. They really have. Like, I was just watching with a huge grin, because when I was a kid, I mean, Doom was the first person shooter I ever played.
Most of them,
and it was a big deal. I remember how blown away my dad was, especially at it. You know, me and my dad used to play it. And so, you know, to see it again, you know, sort of recaptured in the same way, you know, just with better graphics and everything, it was pretty special. I liked it.
I thought, I mean, how could you not say it looked great? It does look great. I guess I played the first one, and I don't play a lot of single-player games anymore. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. I remember watching trailers for the first game, the first Doom, and every time they showed, like, the executions... I was like, oh, whatever, they're just quick time events and it's not that interesting.
Yeah.
And then when you get in the game and you get into the flow of combat, it's so satisfying. The guns, everything feels so good.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm worried about with Doom is they gave Doom Slayer, Doom Guy, whatever you want to call him. He has no real name.
Doom Guy.
Yeah. They gave him some abilities, like he's got like a, you know, flamethrower on his shoulder.
He's got a grappling hook now, right?
He's got a grappling hook.
Yeah, that was a little strange.
I like it. I think it's cool. That one. He's got like a sword in his arm, or a blade in his arm now. He's got a shotgun built into his arm, I think. I hope they don't get too far from like that, like, basic.
Yeah, I mean, they had to do something.
Like, I don't want... Yeah, but I hope they don't get too far to the point where, like, I don't know. You're, like, just constantly flying around and ground pounding. And,
yeah.
And I don't think they're going to do it in this one, but I hope they put, like, a cap on their own creativity.
Yeah, it is a little interesting, ain't it?
You know, Doom is about just... the brutal space marine.
Yeah.
And I don't want
to... Well, and the shooting, you know?
Yeah, right.
That's what I really appreciated, you know, from the original trilogy was it didn't need all that other stuff.
Yeah.
It didn't even need, like, a huge selection of guns. I mean, yeah, there was...
Because the guns that are there are so fun.
Yeah. It was really just about the amount of shooting that you did, and it just felt so good to just unload on all these,
like,
enemies.
The enemy... That's the other thing that... people don't recognize anything. Those enemies, they're just playing fun to kill.
Yeah.
You see them and you're like, I want to blow this thing.
Well, yeah, that's another thing I was thinking about when I was watching the trailer was that, you know, it's like, it's still just the same enemies from the original game.
Yeah.
That's fine because
there's
so many and they're so perfect that it's fine.
And,
it's okay.
You know, one of the things I liked it about Doom, I like it about Quake Champions, is the music is super unique. It's like a mix of, like, you know, like, death metal and like Nine Inch Nails or something. It really gets your blood pumping for demon slaying and fragging and stuff. So Doom Eternal, I think it looks great. They said they are doing competitive multiplayer again, which I'm happy about. I thought the first games was decent. I think the second games will be even better. They also have the new Dark Souls style invasions. So you can invade somebody else's game and take control of a demon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it is going to be cool because you could end up, you know, getting your head chopped off or some type of brutal execution. And so when it's another player, it's going to be even more satisfying.
Yeah,
when
somebody
invades your game and you just blast their head off with a shotgun or whatever. So speaking of Quake, I think it was our very first episode I made the mistake of saying that Quake Champions was free to play. It was actually $4.99, but it was actually a Freudian slip because at QuakeCon, they announced that Quake Champions now is free to play. I highly recommend it. Don't need to say a whole lot much more than that, but if you haven't played it, if you have a decent PC, go download it. It's a great game. Doom and Rage are now both on Game Pass. I think now,
Rangers,
right? They're available
right? Yeah, I downloaded Doom this morning.
If you haven't played Doom,
Xbox One X enhanced.
Yeah, if you haven't played Doom, get it on Game Pass for on Xbox. If you're on some other platform, I don't care. It's got to be cheap these days.
Yeah,
go buy it. It's probably like $10. Now this is an interesting one. Rage 2 was also it's been revealed before. It was one of the Walmart leaks back before E3.
Yep.
They showed off quite a bit of Rage 2 gameplay. Rage 2, so it's a collaboration. Collaboration between id and Avalanche, who makes the Just Cause games, who are known for their open world craziness, you know, just fun, chaotic gameplay. Didn't get nearly as much attention as Doom. Did you watch any Rage 2 gameplay?
No.
See, I think it totally got overshadowed.
What's that I'm not hearing? Are you not hearing that too? That's the sound of anybody asking for Rage 2.
Well, see, this is what I think is interesting.
But... yeah, well, go ahead, say what you're going to say, and I'll say what I have to say.
See, the first Rage was not received that well. I played it. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't memorable.
No. It was very great.
I think the timing of releasing Rage 2 and Doom Eternal at the same time, I don't know why they decided to develop these games side by side, because when you watch it, they are slightly different. I mean, Rage 2 is open world, you know, and it's going for... more of a tongue-in-cheek humorous style than Doom, which is very serious and violent. But they have the same core gameplay, like, you know, fun guns and over-the-top combat.
Oh, yeah. There's not a whole lot.
Rage 2 doesn't have any form of multiplayer. It's just an open world. And I think it looks pretty decent. But the fact that they're putting it out, it's like competing against themselves. I don't know why they're doing it, now.
It seems to be the new trend, right? I mean, who were we just talking about? What was the last week?
Vigor.
Yeah.
Vigor and Daisy.
They released a game that essentially competes against the other game that they're making.
Because if it wasn't shown alongside Doom Eternal, it would be a lot more interesting, I think.
It's all the rage these days, too. Make a game. Did you like that pun?
I didn't even catch that. It was so clever.
to make competing games with yourself, I guess. I don't know.
I just think
Are they releasing at the same time? I don't know.
I think the timing of it. I'm not opposed to Rage 2, and it might be great.
Yeah. Well, I think it looks a lot better than the first game already, but...
Yeah, I think it does, too. I'm just a little concerned that it's going to be too narrow in scope and that the level of competition is too high.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a lot of people like Just Cause, the craziness of it all. And if they
Maybe it'll release and it'll be, you know, one of those surprise hits. Yeah, that's what I mean. The rest will be history, but we'll see.
The last bit of news out of QuakeCon was Fallout 76 comes out this fall. It's kind of the first Fallout that's taken a different direction. You know, it's got the shared world thing now and... but anyway, you've mentioned this several times that you avoid a lot of betas because the progress doesn't carry over.
Yep.
Well, Bethesda has the answer for you. So they have a beta in October, and the final game comes out in November. But their beta is actually carrying over to the main game. So if you help them test it, you know, if you help them break their servers and all that, all your progress carries over.
Nice.
So I got thinking about this before the podcast. The Fallout games are known for being pretty janky and having a lot of glitches. So I think when you add multiplayer and netcode on top of that, I am a little concerned for the performance. So I think it is wise of them to do a beta, you know, in October.
Yeah, probably.
How much can they fix in a month? I don't know.
Fallout's always been a janky piece of Fallout.
You're right. But, I mean, tons of fans, though. So that's it from QuakeCon. I thought it was a pretty exciting conference. I'm glad that more and more developers are hosting their own. It gives us something throughout the year. Before, it used to be like E3 and that was it.
Yeah.
You know? But now you've got PAX, you've got Gamescom,
you've
got QuakeCon, you've got BlizzCon. There's something almost every month now.
Yep.
Where are we here? Here's another controversial statement. So, an executive at Nexon who published Lawbreakers, they published some other games, but I wouldn't say they're a major player. An executive at Nexon gave a presentation recently called How I Spent Millions Marketing the Biggest Flop of 2017, which was Lawbreakers. And I'm wondering what he was going for with this. Because
I think he was going for the jugular.
Well... I don't think he gave it in like a... I don't think it was intended to be like a public thing, but he had to know it was going to go public. Like, I think it was a speech at like a school or something like that, you know, like a marketing type school.
Yeah.
I'm kind of resentful about this. And everybody jumps on Cliffy B because he's kind of a tool. More, not kind of. He is a tool. Well, I mean, let's just be honest. He says a lot of stupid things.
Yes.
But
friend of the show, Cliffy B.
As far as his game design history, no, I mean, for real, the guy's a legend. Unreal, Jazz Jackrabbit, Gears of War.
Yeah, Gears of War alone, I mean.
Lawbreakers, for those people who played it, it was a huge flop. But the people who played it said it was really good.
Yeah.
It was... Cliffy B started a new studio after he left Epic. It was called Boss Key. Lawbreakers was their first game. They went all in on it. It is like it's like Unreal meets Overwatch.
You know? Yeah.
It's fast-paced arena-style gameplay, but with heroes. And everybody who played it said it was good. And I think it's funny that Nexon is complaining about spending so much marketing it, because the people who paid attention to it, myself included, I saw absolutely no marketing for this game.
Yeah.
And that's what I attest its failure to.
That's what I was thinking when I read this headline. I was like, well, what marketing?
Right. I never even saw like a banner on a forum.
Yeah.
Like, I saw nothing.
Yeah.
Definitely no commercials.
No.
No ads on YouTube.
Yeah.
Not even a banner. Like, and, you know, I feel bad because Boss Key, again, Cliffy B has a bombastic personality and says some things that he shouldn't say, you know. But again, this was a developer. These were these people's livelihood. They put their all into this game. They made a good, pretty good game by all measures. And then it failed, and that studio went out of business. They all lost their jobs. Radical Heights was like a last-ditch effort to try to make some money in it. It was another decent start of a game, but they just couldn't pull it off.
Well, it was really the time frame they released the game into, right? I mean, they released it right into the teeth of Overwatch, didn't they?
No, well, that's the thing. Nexon said, oh, you know, we can't compete with PUBG and Fortnite. There's just nobody's playing anything else right now. Oh, yeah, that's why this game failed.
When did they release it? I remember they released it.
Must have been early 2017.
They released it right when a whole bunch of other really big games were releasing. So it was like almost dead on arrival.
But again, you know, that goes back to the marketing. I'm kind of resentful about this guy saying this because it's like, you know, well, we wasted millions on this game. Well, when you sign up to publish a game, you're kind of responsible for its success. Yeah. The developers did their job. They gave you a good game, and you failed to market it.
It's very much like an Overwatch game, right? It's an Overwatch game without
I would compare it more to Unreal.
Oh.
It's an arena-style, fast-paced arena-style shooter.
Yeah, yeah.
But your individual characters have special abilities. Yes.
So, I mean, it was like, I've never played the game, but I've seen it. And yeah, I mean, the characters just have no personality, especially.
It did get a lot of flack for, like, dude, bro.
Yeah, especially when compared to something like Overwatch, which, you know, all the characters have extreme personality, you know. And
so maybe they had trouble marketing it because of that.
Yeah.
Had no flair, personality.
Just a bad choice right there alone. But, yeah, I mean, it's history now. Nothing you can do.
Yeah.
That ship sailed.
I hope that the people at Bosky, you know, Cliffy B aside, all land on their feet because they were all lost their jobs. And, I mean, it is what it is. It's the story of the day, and that's it. So then, here's another big one, is that PlayStation announced a new PlayStation 4 bundle. I feel like we're talking about a new PS4 bundle in every episode now. This one does look really awesome as well. It's a translucent PS4. It's to celebrate 500 million PlayStation consoles sold across the world since their launch. There's not so much to say about the bundle itself, but I just wanted to, in celebration of them reaching this milestone, rack your brain for any favorite PlayStation moments in their history, whether it be a game or like a certain announcement or...
You know, when I saw this 500 million, at first I was like, wait, what are they talking about? Then I got thinking about it and I was like, okay, so PlayStation 1 sold, let's say it sold 125 million.
Yeah.
PlayStation 2, let's say it sold 150 million. PlayStation 3 only sold...
I think it was like
90 million.
I don't even know if it was that much.
It was 80 to 90 million worldwide. PlayStation 4, about 80 to 90 million.
So far. I don't know if you're counting PSP and
Vita. So that's only about 400
million. Well, you got PSP and Vita in there, too.
Yeah. So then I was like, well, where's the other 100 million coming? Like, what has PlayStation on it that makes up about 100 million units? It must be Vita, PSP... The PlayStation TV.
I don't know if they can count that.
Is there anything? What else is there? I mean, what else? I mean, because there's no way those things made 100. Well, maybe. I mean, PSP probably sold quite a few. And PS Vita, probably like at least 40 million.
More than you think, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe, those two probably along. But, I mean, that aside, favorite PlayStation moments.
Ridge Racer, is that one of them?
I mean, there's definitely some real highlights and lowlights, isn't there? I mean, the giant enemy crab will never be forgotten.
What? Giant enemy crab?
You don't know the story of giant enemy crab?
No.
It's from their legendarily bad PlayStation 3 review reveal.
No, I never saw it.
You gotta go look up the giant enemy crab. It's one of the best moments. I think it's the same episode or the same E3 as the Ridge Racer. Yeah. It's the good moments and the bad moments. You know, probably bringing home the first PlayStation 1 I had.
Yeah,
and that was a pretty special console, really.
Yeah, that was. But anyway, interesting news: Henry Cavill, Superman, who is also in the new Mission Impossible movie with the famous mustache.
Yes.
Came out and said he wants to play Geralt in Netflix's version of The Witcher. They're doing a Witcher series. Are you buying this or not?
I am.
You think it's a good idea or bad?
I think it's a idea. I don't know if it's good or bad.
I think that means bad.
Well, I don't know. You know,
he's too big.
My first thought was no. He can't be, like, he's too too nice, too civilized.
I haven't seen Mission Impossible, though.
No, I haven't seen that
either.
I
think he plays a very different character than that.
Then I thought about it, and his character from Man of Steel. Did you see Man of Steel?
Yeah.
The wandering Superman when he had the beard and he's in Canada.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that character's very similar, actually.
Bring back Army Hammer and make him
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe he could pull it off. I liked his wandering Superman.
I just think he's too big. Geralt's not a big guy. He's an everyday type of guy. Henry Cavill is 280 pounds of muscle.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he could lose weight, but he's probably contractually obligated to maintain a certain weight for Superman. So. Uh-huh. Who knows? I'm not sold on the idea, but that's a good point. The Man of Steel wandering Superman. I thought Man of Steel was probably one of the best DC movies.
Oh, yeah. I think it's really underrated.
Yeah. So this is just a small one. God of War, one of the year's best games. Game of Year contender for sure. It's finally getting New Game Plus on August 20th. A lot of fans have been asking for that. That's coming. Battlefield 5 is getting a second alpha on PC on August 14th, which is just a few days away. So if you're a Battlefield fan, get ready for that. Fortnite launched on Android this week out of nowhere. Pretty unexpected. They announced, what was it, the Samsung Galaxy 9?
Yeah,
And it came out that same day. They said, well, it's done. Come out and play
it. Is it on Samsung's store?
Just like you predicted, it's on Samsung's app store.
Unbelievable.
I have to say, I downloaded it and I played it. I know Fortnite pretty well. I'm not a pro by any means. I've played it a lot. I know the mechanics of the game. The loading times in a mobile version are atrocious. And I cannot play games on mobile at all. And I'm not saying that it's not viable.
Does it have the touch screen controls?
I'm not saying it's not viable. Some people are probably very good at it. I know how to play Fortnite. I got into the game on mobile. And I got destroyed. Like, I could not do anything. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Fortnite is available for Android. Monster Hunter World. Congratulations to Capcom. The PC version came out this past week. And it actually set the record for a Japanese game launching on Steam for highest concurrent users and sales. As Capcom's biggest PC debut ever. So, you know, last episode, you and I were talking about, is this going to succeed? Well,
It already has.
Path of Exile, we've talked about that a couple times.
Yep.
New expansion named Delve was announced. It's out at the end of this month on both PC and Xbox. Path of Exile is free to play. It's a Diablo competitor. It has a lot of good hype around it. Its biggest new feature is an infinite dungeon. It never ends. It just goes on and on and on. For Path of Exile fans, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I can just imagine. And this is the one I'm plugging for the week. Let It Die, who's made by Suda51 and Grasshopper. Do you remember this game? It came out on PS4. It's that game with the skateboarding Grim Reaper. It's like the Dark Souls
game. Yep.
I played this on PS4. It's probably one of my favorite PS4 games. Nobody really talks about it.
Who was the developer? Was this the one from Itagaki, or is this?
No, it's Grasshopper. So Suda51.
Oh, Suda, that's right.
So it's got that Suda51 crazy style, just absolute bonkers, off the wall. But it's that Dark Souls style game. You load into a tower, and your goal is to get to the top floor of the tower, and it goes on for like ever. And it's got some level of permadeath mechanic. It's a roguelike game. There is some level of PvP in the game. I think you can. I think when you die, your ghost stays behind and fights other players. It's also the game where, like, a level one player, it got a huge amount of attention on Twitch when it came out, because, like, this, like, level one guy, he, like, boxed this, like, unkillable enemy into a wall. And so he was, like, trapped against the wall, and he punched it with his fists for, like, 8 hours straight on Twitch. And he, like, it set a record for, like, Twitch viewers, because everybody came in to watch this guy punching this enemy. And he finally killed it after punching it with his bare hands for 8 hours. So the reason I'm talking about Let It Die, it's a PS4 exclusive. It's coming out on PC this fall. GameSpot got the exclusive story on that. So I'm hoping it gets a community on PC, because it really is worth playing. It's especially if you like Dark Souls style games. Even if you don't, I think it's got its own unique
play. God bless America.
Yes. Well, Japan in this game.
Japan,
probably.
Yes.
All right, so games coming out this week. Sword Legacy Omen, no idea what that is. Phantom Doctrine, multi-platform, no idea what that is. Here's a big one for me. World of Warcraft Battle for Azeroth comes out Monday.
No idea what that is.
Yeah. I will be streaming that game for 2 days straight. Mayor Reynolds WP on Twitch. It's going to be another World of Warcraft expansion. It's going to do gangbusters. Death's Gambit on PC and PS4. 2064 read-only memories on Switch. That must be some type of indie, I'm imagining. Mm-hmm. The Walking Dead, the final season, comes out. Even though it's not really the final season, it's just the end of Clementine. So are you getting this day one?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So you're going to be...
I'm there.
You telling us next week how it is. State of Mind, multi-platform game. Hero Defense, multi-platform game. Destination Primus Vita, which is not a Vita game, is coming out on PC. Gaff probably wants
it. Yeah, I was going to say, no matter how much Reset Era wants it to happen.
And Red's Kingdom comes out to Switch. I'm envisioning that as another indie game. So recommendations for the week. What should you guys be playing? Mine this week. I just tried the Black Ops 4 beta. I'm not sure how I feel about it yet, but if you know you're interested in Black Ops 4, you should be playing it right now. My biggest recommendation, and this one, I never thought I'd be recommending this game, not because I didn't think it was going to be great, but I didn't know that I'd play it. It's Dead Cells. So I bought Dead Cells during the Steam sale this past Christmas. It's been on PC forever.
Wow.
The console version came out last week.
Did you even know you owned it until...
Yeah,
until
I did.
Hubbub?
I heard it was good, and that's why I bought it. But then I was like, I've been playing...
Have you done that where you go back to Steam and you're like, oh my God,
when did I own
this game? Yeah, what...
So I finally, all the console release hype got me to sit down and say, okay, I'll give it a try. I didn't know how long I'd play it. I probably got 3, 4, 5 hours in at this point. It is really, really good. Like, I was just thinking recently that, you know, there's so many indie games now. Like, I feel like a lot of these genres are getting, like, oversaturated. And, you know, everybody's just putting out side-scrollers and puzzle games. Dead Cells is really good. The animation's so smooth. Combat's very satisfying. It does kind of have that Souls mechanic where you can't die, because if you do, you get set all the way back.
Yeah.
But it does a much better job, in my opinion, of not being dreadful when you die. In Dark Souls, when you die, it's like, oh my God, that was always my feeling. Not again. You gotta start, go way back. Because the combat is so fun in Dead Cells, there's so many different weapons, different abilities. The variety is so great. I don't really fear dying. It's like you go back and you just start new. And I gotta hand it to, I think their name's Motion Twin, the developers. Music's great. I recommend it on all levels. I never thought that this would be my prediction. Not because, again, because I didn't like it, but because I don't play a lot of games like this anymore.
Yeah.
And for me, that's what it is. Anybody out there should be playing Dead Cells. How about you?
Well, my recommendation is to stay in school and spade or neuter your pets.
That's great. Great advice.
I didn't really play anything this week. Yeah, I've been so busy. You know, I mean, I guess my real recommendation is just to cut people out of your life so you can play video games.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, what else can I say?
That's always good advice. All right, so we don't have a That's So Sega this week. Sega did nothing, which is probably the most That's So Sega of all time.
That's really...
But we do have a Draw Your Own Conclusions. Here we go. This, to me, completely sums up Sea of Thieves, which for some reason keeps coming up for us, even though neither of us play it. This was from a member of the Sea of Thieves team. We always wanted there to be more than just ship combat between players. We always wanted a varied number of encounters where people watch the sunset together, drink grog together, and adventure together.
Draw your own conclusions to that.
I think that's just the most Sea of Thieves quote of all time.
Absolutely.
It sums up everything that's wrong with the game.
Yep.
That's all there is to do. Though I hear the recent updates, especially the one that came out this month, has added a lot to the game. So for me, this week to come is nothing but World of Warcraft Battle for Azeroth. Like I said, I'm going to be streaming it on Twitch for 2 days straight. Literally, it launches at 2 o'clock on Monday. From then on to the time I go to bed the next day, probably for 12, 13 hours, I'm streaming. So check us out on Twitch, Mayor Reynolds WP, if you want to watch some Battle for Azeroth action. That brings us to the end of the episode. So this is episode number 5. We're finally out in the wild. And, you know, if you're listening to the podcast, please check out our website, godmodeunlocked.net. From there, you can link up with us on social media, Discord, Twitch, Patreon, all those platforms to become part of our community, give us feedback, let us know what you want to hear more about, and you get the link to that giveaway as well. Our friends at Sloth Esports gave us that pro-level mouse pad, and we've got 4 Square Enix games to go with it for PC. So with that said, I think we're just about done. You got anything else?
Giant enemy crabs.
Stay in school and stay in New Year's kids. All right, God Mode Unlocked episode 5, signing off. See you next week.